Cenk, you're a natural born athlete.
Let's see how Earth responds to that.
Cenk Uygur, Francesca Fiorentini, who of course is the host of the legendary podcast, The Bituation Room, and a TYT contributor. Great to see you, Franny.
Good to see you. And Cenk Uygur, who is running for president, but also has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Cenk.
Oh my God, stop it.
Wait, do it again. There we go. There we go. That's it. Bum, bum, bum.
Ba, 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 ba. Okay. But yes.
Happy birthday. Any words of wisdom to the people out there as you are 1 year older and wiser?
Yeah. That's a good question. We don't often start the show that way, but I like that question. So I will actually take you up on it for a second.
Okay.
Yes, as we are trying to fight for a happier society, we should not forget to be happy along the way.
Ooh, I like that. I always say that. That's because sometimes we on the left are sadly not very humorful. Yeah, we're a little humorless sometimes, you know. We take ourselves seriously because there's a lot to fight for, but I love that.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, Franny. And at TYT, as you know, they can't stop us. The dad jokes, the actual jokes.
Sure.
Making things too light at times. Well, it happens. And look at this, by the way, we're not alone. Nurse Miller just made a contribution. Was that for my birthday? I don't know. Will we accept contributions at tyt.com/join for the birthday? Yeah, okay, I'm not gonna stop you. And we do need it, so I appreciate it. And GMM McNillis just joined a monthly membership. We're not gonna stop you from doing that either. Thank you so much, guys, for doing all the notes that are coming in. I love you. We'll talk about it in the next social break. Thank you, Franny. But let's do the news. What do you think?
Oh, you're welcome. Your birthday present came early, by the way, which was a write-in for your presidency.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I am still on the ballot in 3 states.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
All right.
We love it. All right. There's a lot of news to get to. Let's just dive in with this.
Sadly, tragically, many members of Congress seem to be happy to be part of this starvation caucus. Happy to cut funding for UNRWA and make it harder to get aid to Palestinians in the midst of this crisis.
So there is Bernie Sanders dubbing the Republicans in Congress and others the starvation caucus, and for good reason, because Speaker Mike Johnson is currently trying to get Congress to pass a budget to avert a government shutdown by Friday night. And he has hidden in the budget one particular goodie for the sadists out there and among our elected officials, which is defunding the main organization that helps feed and give Palestinians medicine, and that is UNRWA. Yeah, you heard it. It's in our budget. The deal on a massive appropriations bill reached between Congress and the White House will include a ban on all direct US funding for the main humanitarian agency operating in Gaza, the United Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. Remember, this is in the middle of this ongoing assault. Others would say genocide in Gaza, 32,000 killed, 74,000 wounded, and millions facing imminent famine. And UNRWA's assistance is vital. Just if you don't know, they provide education, healthcare, social services in the West Bank, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria for an estimated 6 million Palestinian refugees. And they say that a cutoff in aid would create a huge gap in the agency's funding. Now, some people out there are like, wait a minute, didn't we already pause funding? You'd be right, and we're going to get into that. The U.S. actually usually provides $300 to $400 million a year in UNRWA funding. We are the largest funder of UNRWA. Donald Trump in 2018 cut all of that off. Joe Biden restored it in 2021, but again, in late January, Israel accused 12 UNRWA members of being involved in the Hamas attacks on October 7th, and the U.S. immediately halted funding to UNRWA, and the U.N. fired 10 or 12 employees accused by Israel of that. U.S. intelligence found that Israeli allegations were credible, but did not conduct an independent analysis, relying instead on evaluation of the intelligence provided by Israel. The current Biden administration pause has no end date pending the outcome of the UN review and reevaluation of all UNRWA employees. Now this congressional deal in the so-called minibus will put a statutory prohibition on funding, thus tying the hands of the administration. In other words, they could bring it back. In fact, many are arguing they need to refund UNRWA to prevent this imminent starvation. But this poison pill in the omnibus spending bill would mean that until 2025 and perhaps longer, the U.S. cannot refund UNRWA. Before I kick it to you, Cenk, I do want to talk about those classified documents a little bit, and actually some of the people who were privy to that so-called intelligence, specifically Senator Chris Van Hollen, Democratic senator from Maryland, who actually said that it's bogus. The intelligence that links UNRWA to Hamas is faulty at best, but truly just a lie. Here he was on Face the Nation.
You seem to be implying that the links to terror groups are unfounded.
Oh, there's no doubt that the claim that Prime Minister Netanyahu and others are making that somehow UNRWA is a proxy for Hamas are just flat out lies. That's a flat out lie. If you look at the person who's in charge of operations on the ground in Gaza for UNRWA, it's about a 20-year U.S. Army veteran. Mm-hmm. You can be sure he is not in cahoots with Hamas. Netanyahu has wanted to get rid of UNRWA since at least 2017. That's been his goal, not just in Gaza, but also in the other places you talked about. And if you get rid of UNRWA in Gaza today, it is the primary distribution system for food and aid. So if you cut off funding for UNRWA in Gaza entirely, it means more people will starve, more people won't get the medical assistance they need. And so it would be a huge mistake to cut them off.
That is a senator just calling it like it is. Cenk, I want to get your reactions before we talk about the impact of all this.
Yeah, so first of all, credit to both those guys. Bernie Sanders, a total hero. And so for those of you who are splitting hairs, well, he hasn't called it a genocide yet. I don't care what he calls it. I care about his actions. And he's pointing out, what are we doing here? Are you crazy? We're going to cut off funding to UNRWA while these 1.1 million people are on the brink of starvation. Actions like that, restoring funding that actually helps human beings, are 1,000 times more important than any word. And by the way, I disagree with him on, I think it is a genocide. I don't think it's even close. Srebrenica was about 20% of the casualties that's happened here. And that was clearly a genocide. But actions matter, and he called it the Starvation Caucus. That is really strong words, because tons of his Democratic colleagues are in that Starvation Caucus. And that's not the kind of language the Democrats ever use. So thank you for doing that, Bernie, as usual, a hero. And Chris Van Hollen has been a shocking hero in this fight, constantly pointing out what is true and fighting to save innocent lives. I have never seen anything like this from an establishment Democrat. So, and maybe I'll even take establishment out of that title. I'm stunned by Senator Van Hollen's honesty and his fight for justice here. And on his claims on UNRWA, it is indisputable. US intelligence said that Israel turned over no evidence, none, that UNRWA was related to Hamas. It is a flat out lie. Senator Van Hollen is right about that. And Franny, that brings us back to the main point, which is, isn't this amazing? Because I want you to stop and think about it. I know we're all used to Washington always doing the exact opposite of what the American people want and what is fair, etc. But here's US intelligence confirming Israel was totally lying about UNRWA, And yet the overwhelming majority of Republicans and Democrats are saying, who cares? Let's cut their funding anyway, based on that thing that we know is a lie.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember, and it's, these are the splitting hairs, right? These are the splitting hairs around Republicans and Democrats when it comes to Israel, right? It's that Biden ostensibly would turn back on the funding at some point. But Donald Trump, even before anything like October 7th happened, was just like, nah, I'm just gonna do Bibi a favor and completely cut UNRWA funding. And as Senator Van Hollen mentioned, this has been a goal of Bibi Netanyahu and the right and largely the political establishment in Israel to get rid of UNRWA. Again, it's not just food, it is not just medicine, it is education, it is a future. And they don't like that. They don't like the idea that Palestinians even live with a shred of hope, that they even live with a full belly, that they even live with the idea that there is a future, that there is a tomorrow. Hey, why not just leave? Just go. And if we can't get you to go, well, we're going to use a pretext of October 7th to completely wipe you off the map, literally, and ethnic cleanse you. I mean, there's no other excuse. So I know you're saying he's been a hero, but it isn't it just a wild that the bar is so low where you're like, we're celebrating Democrats who don't believe in mass starvation of a sitting population. And just to be specific, let's get into it. UNRWA reports that during the first 17 days of March, so just this month, just an average of 159 aid trucks per day were allowed to cross into Gaza. Again, allowed by Israel, which is well below operational capacity of the crossings under the 500-day per day target. Again, per day target to not starve. By the way, Israeli drone strikes have occurred at or near aid convoys, to say nothing of things like the flower massacre. You know, every time initially when there were hospitals attacked, it was like a lot of headlines grabbed. When people were killed, when they tried to get aid, a lot of headlines. But then it sort of falls from the news when Israel repeatedly attacks hospitals or repeatedly attacks people trying to get aid that they mete out, by the way. And then for the people on the ground, I mean, we've seen the videos, we've seen the images. Y'all are on social media, you know how this works. The children who are dying, the children whose bones are exposed, the children who are crying out, who are born well below their birth rate, who don't have formula, who don't have milk. Those who have survived, who do survive, again, face acute malnutrition. 31% of children under the age of 2 now suffering in northern Gaza, according to UNICEF. The UN agency also reports that 81% of Gazan households lack clean water, and 9 out of 10 do not have enough food to survive. So this is on both parties for sure, and it is nice to hear some Democrats breaking with their leadership about this, because the White House has been a brick wall.
Yeah, I think your point is the best one, which is how stunningly low the bar is. So we are begging and pleading with Democratic senators to not let 1.1 million people starve on purpose based on a malicious lie from the people who are starving them to death. And when a couple of senators go, oh, you guys are right, we shouldn't let a million people starve, we're like, yes. Meanwhile, I mean, look, I think that the Democratic Party has gotten off super easy, both parties. I mean, we're gonna talk more about the Republican Party in a second. The Republican Party is in the middle of kissing Netanyahu's ass harder than any Democrat ever has. They have pledged complete loyalty to him, and that's not an exaggeration. You'll see it in the quotes. But meanwhile, the overwhelming majority of the Democratic Party is hiding. They're supporting things like this, and they're part of the Starvation Caucus. And last I checked, over 200 members of the Democratic Party in Congress are still not for a ceasefire.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is, hey, could you get aid to the people who are still dying under American-made bombs? No? Okay. Anyway, is this going to pass? Johnson's going to bring up the bill for a vote through a streamlined process that requires 2/3 of support for it to pass. According to Chip Roy, if this bill sits out for 2 weeks, it'll get pilloried like a pinata. So they, quote, want to jam it through over the next 48 hours. You all know what to do in terms of talking to your elected officials about this poison pill that will starve this population faster faster than they already are being starved. I mean, it's unconscionable, but truly the lives we can save every single day cannot be underestimated.
Yeah, one last thing on this. The reason Chip Roy says that is because AIPAC is one of the largest founders of Mike Johnson and many other Republicans and many other Democrats. So they're trying to sneak this in to help their donors. Hey, the donors would like to starve a million people, so they're gonna do that on behalf of their donors. The reason he says if it sits out there for a while, it's gonna be in trouble is because both Democratic and Republican voters don't actually want it. So the America First crowd among MAGA are starting to get real agitated at the Republicans who keep saying that they will serve Israel unconditionally. And so he knows, hey, if we don't hurry up and starve these people so that we can all get checks, the crooks that we all are, then we're gonna get caught by the American people. So let's hurry up and do this malicious, horrible, disgusting thing before we get caught by the population.
Yeah, let's hurry up and give Jared Kushner his waterfront property as he talked about himself. Let's move to that, the amount that the Republicans are trying to kiss Netanyahu's behind with this.
Could you explain why is it seemingly that this administration, including Chuck Schumer in the Senate, so hate the man that Israel chose as their prime minister? Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate it. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel.
Yes, that is former President Donald Trump saying the Democratic Party hates Israel. That's why the Democratic Party head, Joe Biden, gave Bibi a big ol' hug and has sent him over 100 deliveries of weapons without congressional approval. Yes, keep telling that lie. But again, this is now where we're at, guys. We are in a contest between Republicans and Democrats on who can cozy up to Netanyahu harder. And honestly, nobody can beat Republicans. There's a reason why, both politically, but also monetarily. So recently, Netanyahu joined Senate Republicans on a weekly video chat, just, you know, dropping in his remarks that included a question and answer session. Netanyahu acknowledged that he was speaking to a quote, friendly audience, given Republicans are 100% behind him while Democrats are raising objections. And that is in reference to the fact that just a week ago, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said that he believes that Netanyahu's gotta go, there should be new elections. And so there's an opening for Republicans to swoop in. And Mike Johnson wants to be his new, I don't know, his new BFF, let's so to speak. Just honestly, the most intelligent senator, Tommy Tuberville, had this to say about Bibi's remarks. He said, you know, we're trying to tell them how to fight a war. They didn't tell us how to fight World War II or Iraq or Afghanistan. Israel didn't exist during World War II. So anyway, cool, Tommy. But Netanyahu also, he tried. He wanted to talk to Democrats. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer refused. And remember, Chuck Schumer has said that he thinks that Netanyahu is a barrier to peace. And Mike Johnson's like, you know what? I'm gonna invite him to speak in front of Congress. That's right. He says he will, quote, certainly invite Bibi to speak in front of Congress. It's not sure if it'll be for the House or the entirety of Congress. And, you know, it's a little thirsty of a move, but also it's what they paid for. AIPAC was Johnson's top donor in 2023 to the tune of $104,000. That's more than four times the roughly $25,000 the group donated to his last congressional campaign when it was also his top donor. I mean, obviously he's a speaker now. He's like, you know, what do you got for me? And $95,000 of that came after Johnson led the House passage of that $14 billion aid package to Israel. But look, there's a lot of money to go around when it comes to AIPAC. So look at Schumer versus Mitch McConnell too. $1.9 million, I guess, in total. And 1.7 when it comes to Charles Schumer. This is barely a difference. And yet Chuck Schumer is the one who's like, well, we gotta, you know, no more Netanyahu. Sorry, I guess I said that. Also, Hakeem Jeffries, Speaker of the House, has 1.2 million. I mean, it's just wild how many of our congresspeople are currently bought off by AIPAC, to say nothing of the military industrial complex and weapons manufacturers more broadly. But Cenk, Mike Johnson sees his opening and he wants to swoop in there. And I think this is an interesting moment to talk about whether what Chuck Schumer truly said is actually all that damaging to Israel or AIPAC. I've got my thoughts, but I'll let you jump in on this.
Yeah, so Francesca, I'm really disappointed at how anti-Semitic your facts are. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't stated things that are obviously and overwhelmingly true, because, you know, saying that Mike Johnson's top donor is AIPAC is a fact, and that fact is anti-Semitic. I just wanted you guys to know that. Trigger warning. Facts might offend you. And if you think Mitch McConnell was not affected by $1.9 million in funding, okay. Hi on whatever planet you're on. And if you think that Mitch McConnell taking $1.9 million affects him, but Hakeem Jeffries taking $1.2 million doesn't affect him, hello, I wonder which planet you're on. Because you're all on different planets, not this one. I know that, which means that you're probably a reporter. And so I like how you became an astronaut in the meanwhile. Like, oh no, that is outrageous. Hakeem Jeffries is an honorable gentleman and would never be affected by $1.2 million. Did you know he's a Democrat? Oh, okay, well, I see you've countered with nothing. Anyway, so are these guys affected by the money? Of course, of course. If you don't know that, it doesn't matter if it's AIPAC or Lockheed Martin or ExxonMobil or Pfizer or Jim Bob. Okay, if you think they're not affected by the money, you're either blithering idiot, like who would care about $1.2 million? Or you're a mainstream media reporter, or both. So obviously the fact that Netanyahu comes with AIPAC and AIPAC comes with a bag of money is affecting the Republicans. So that's why we explained earlier in the show that the Republicans are saying we have to hurry up and cut funding for UNRWA and get funding to Israel before we get caught, right? Because their base is America First. And here they are bringing Netanyahu in saying, yes, sir, what would you like us to do, sir? They said that their support for Israel is unconditional. Wait, let's break that down. So why would any foreign government get unconditional support from us? Doesn't it matter what they do? Why would we give, for example, Canada unconditional support? Well, what if they attacked Buffalo? Is it still unconditional? What if they just started randomly murdering the citizens? Would it still be unconditional? What if they murdered 25,000 innocent civilians? Would it still be unconditional? Oh, right, that's what Israel did. So apparently, yes. So
Israel is the Trump of countries. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Israel's like the Trump of countries, you know. They go out and do whatever they want, and the US is their MAGA base. And if you don't like that, deal with it. I don't care. That's exactly what it is. And here's the thing about Chuck Schumer. If my man really didn't like Netanyahu or wanted to call for new elections, which is wild to think that he has any control over whether Israel has new elections, and wants to go that route rather than just, you know, getting them to stop bombing Israel by stop sending them weapons, like that seems like a very, bombing Gaza, that seems like an easy route. Then why doesn't he reject the AIPAC money? AIPAC and Netanyahu are one and the same. The AIPAC just had a conference. Netanyahu was their keynote speaker. Netanyahu gives them talking points. They are one and the same. So why are all these Democrats who are hemming and hawing about what's going on and the tragedy and this and that, why don't they reject that money? Why don't they say I shouldn't have taken that money? Because now that money is even more soaked in blood than it was before. Now that money comes with starving children. Now that money comes with all of these preventable deaths and all of the people, the 32 plus thousand civilians who have been killed. Because in the same breath that Chuck Schumer said, oh, we need new elections in Israel, Cenk, he used the human shields line. Yes, I do believe that Hamas uses little starving babies as human shields. You know, it's like, no, that's called their flesh, idiot. Like, it is so disingenuous to me that people try to distinguish Netanyahu and AIPAC, and honestly, the Israeli political system at this point, like a lot of the politicians are farther to the right of Netanyahu. If you get rid of Netanyahu, you're gonna get someone even more to the right. The project is the same.
Yeah, so right now the Republicans are saying that Biden and Schumer have been unacceptably disloyal to the Israeli prime minister. Is that a thing? I mean, look, guys, I'm not America First. I believe in nuance. I believe in serving the average American as our top priority, but it depends on the situation at hand, whether we help another country, whether it's really help, how much. Those are complicated questions. But MAGA and Republicans say that they are definitely America First.
Sure.
And then they say, how dare the leader of America question a foreign government? Shut up and serve that foreign government. Well, that just makes no sense. It's not even trying to make sense. So now they say that Schumer and Biden, how dare they question Israel or Netanyahu? But wait, to Franny's point, have Schumer and Biden done anything? No, they're still saying they should send $14 billion extra to Israel right away, $4 billion every year as a matter of course. And they're both right now in the middle of cutting funding for UNRWA to help 1.1 million starving Palestinians. So Schumer and Biden are still 100% on Netanyahu's side when it comes to policy. Okay, now that doesn't mean that Schumer isn't earnest in that speech and that it wasn't important. I do think it was a watershed moment because a major political leader in this country, a Senate majority leader, I've never ever seen them disagree with Israel or its leader 1%, not 1%, right? So the fact that it happened was stunning, especially Schumer, who is, everyone knows, is Israel's top ally historically and throughout his career through actions, funding, in every other way, etc. And when Schumer gives that speech, he doesn't give it because he hates Israel. He gives it because he loves Israel, and he's saying, you're going the wrong way. You gotta turn around to protect Israel. And so I don't mind that. You wanna treat Israel as an ally? Great. You wanna help Israel as a friend get to a better place? Definitely, right? So, but the idea that they are not sufficiently loyal, and that's why the Republicans had to step in to make sure that Netanyahu knew, don't worry, the American people, the taxpayers of America, will always fund you no matter what the Democrats say, because you are funding us through AIPAC. Keep it real, that is 100% what's happening. And if any reporter denies that, they're absolutely positively lying to you. Okay, now let me show you some what real heroes look like. I gotta read this. It's a statement from Jewish Americans opposing AIPAC's intervention in Democratic Party politics. These are more than 100 prominent Jewish Americans, including Tony Kushner, who's an amazing playwright, Elliot Gould, an amazing actor, Robert Greenwald, filmmaker, etc. The list is too long, but it's giant names that you know in media, politics, Peter Beinart, Dave Zarin. I can go on and on, right? Wonderful writers. They wrote, given that Israel is so isolated internationally that it could not continue its inhumane treatment of the Palestinians without US political and military support, AIPAC is an essential link in the chain that holds in place the unbearable tragedy of Israel-Palestine and the coming US elections. We need to break that chain in order to help free the people of Israel-Palestine to pursue peaceful coexistence. Now, that's what American heroes look like. So get a load of this irony. You have all of these prominent Jewish Americans saying, please stop taking money from AIPAC and actually get to peace, which helps both Palestinians and Israel. And you have Chuck Schumer at least saying it, although he's still taking the money and giving the money. And you have Bernie Sanders fighting harder than anyone in Congress and calling his colleagues the Starvation Caucus for trying to take money away from UNRWA that would fund at least a little bit of food for the Palestinians. So it is not that Mike Johnson and the Republicans like Israel more, are more in favor of Jewish Americans. Nonsense. It's that they like the cold hard cash and the corruption more.
Yeah, I know we got to take a break, but I also just want to say they also want to turn the United States into Israel. Like, they love the idea of an occupation. They love the idea of walls. They love the idea of hyper surveillance, militarism, and all that. They love the idea of creating Bantustans. They love that. They want to send drones into the inner city. So don't get it twisted. They see Israel as a model. Hey, an ethno state, a religious ethno state? Hey, baby, let's do a Christian religious ethno state here.
Yeah. I think you got a lot of valid points there, including their love of militarism. And so when they look at that, they think you take the how Viktor Orban has destroyed democracy in Hungary, you couple it with the militarism and the ethno state of Israel, and for Republican politics, and that is at perpetual war. Republican voters might not like that, but Republican politicians, that's their dream come true.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we gotta take a break here. When we come back, we've got more news for you guys, including a Muslim American appointee being smeared by Democrats. We'll be back. Back on TYT, Cenk and Francesca with you guys. Look at all these beautiful people. Judy WPB and ALC7701 contributed through TYT.com/join. Really appreciated. Vita Del Set said, Cenk, you don't look a year over 35. Oh, stop it. Keep it coming, keep it coming. Okay, thank you. You're literally too kind. On YouTube, Book Don't Lie, Danielle Garofalo and Aaron Kurtisan, you all just joined. Welcome. Nice. Now you're part of Young Turks and you're helping us to do honest news coverage. And you rely on you instead of corporate sponsors. So we appreciate you. And then finally, Chitulu gifted 5 memberships, and so did Flying Angel, Dragon 772, John Mariana, Progressive Boomer, and Benjamin Webster, and Dawn Whitehead also chipped in a membership as she usually does. You guys are amazing. We do this show together and love you guys. Fran, what's next?
Yeah. Well, a story that I think has not been getting enough coverage, so I'm happy we're doing this. Take a look.
If anyone has aspirations to attack minority communities, or indeed to attack the Jewish community here in America, they'd have to go through me first.
Right, and so you condemn what Hamas did to innocent Israelis on October 7th, and you condemn what terrorists did to New York on 9/11.
Of course.
We have reached peak, do you condemn Hamas, ladies and gentlemen. That is Biden's nominee to be the first Muslim American appeals court judge in the country. Momentous, historic, first Muslim American appeals court judge, incredible. His name is Adil Mungi, and he is a veteran litigator based in New Jersey, unanimously well rated among the American Bar Association, hailed for his legal and pro bono work by a range of organizations, including the AFL-CIO, the Coalition of Underrepresented Law Enforcement Associations, and more than a dozen prominent Jewish groups. And yet, here he is, a man of his distinction and honor, receives this nomination. And do you condemn 9/11? We still on that. Okay, Republicans and actually Democrats are hounding Mr. Mungi over his religion and then their imagined connection of that religion to, of course, terrorism. Let's get more specific. What are they screaming about? Republicans have accused Mungie of sharing views espoused by panelists who spoke at events hosted by Rutgers Law School's Center for Security, Race and Rights. Mungie previously served as the member of the center's advisory board in 2021 on the 20th anniversary of September 11, 2021 attacks. The center hosted a roundtable discussion that featured several controversial speakers that Mungie said he had never heard of. And he didn't organize the panel. Sorry. But of course, because of his affiliation with the group, again, the group being Rutgers Law School, three Republican senators have demanded that he share his personal views on 9/11, which he, again, as you saw, repeatedly disavowed, condemned. And then they continued to prod him around Israel-Palestine, suggesting that maybe he was in favor of what happened on October 7th. Take a look.
Senator, I stated this earlier, but let me repeat it because I think it's critically important.
Do you condemn the atrocities of the Hamas terrorists?
Yes, that's what I was about to address, Senator.
And is there any justification for those atrocities?
Senator, I'll repeat myself. The events of October 7th were a horror involving the deaths of innocent civilians. That is contrary.
I'm going to ask the question again. Is there any justification for those atrocities?
That was going to be my next sentence, Senator, which is, I have no patience, none, for any attempts to justify or defend those events.
And yet, this is what the Republicans are going to do. They're going to smear him, and not just senators, but the people who have bought our judicial system, specifically the people who have bought our Supreme Court. Last month, the Judicial Crisis Network, a right-wing dark money group, began running ads accusing Mungie of being a radical, an anti-Semite, of being involved in the organization's efforts to teach students to hate Israel and to hate America and support global terrorism. By the way, the Judicial Crisis Network is a pet project of billionaire Leonard Leo, who has pretty much single-handedly been orchestrating all of our judicial life. Like, he has picked all of the Supreme Court nominees. He has been working to undermine civil rights for Americans. The guy is pure trash. But hey, he's funding ads that use video footage of a plane crashing into the World Trade Center on 9/11, overlaid with a headline about Mr. Mungie. He had nothing to do with 9/11, of course, or anyone who planned those attacks. The Council on American Islamic Relations and, interestingly, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, have both publicly condemned the GOP for their treatment of Mr. Mungie. But Cenk, we're back here. And I just want to say, before I kick it to you, it is actually incredible that we don't have anywhere in our appeals court a Muslim judge. How is that possible? And look, I believe in the separation of religion and the state, obviously, that is in the Constitution. But isn't it funny that we still somehow don't have a representation of the people who are making judgments on our lives every single day in terms of religion? And many Muslims, thanks to 9/11, had been terrorized themselves, surveilled, followed, their communities ripped apart, entrapped into bogus, FBI sting operations. And you would want someone who comes from that community, possibly, to be ruling on your behalf, to say nothing of general religious freedom, of which it gets litigated and brought to courts every single day, and yet we don't have any Muslim Americans on these courts. It's just wild, but even wilder is what he's facing. And we'll get to what the Democrats are doing in a sec.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Democrats not that much better on this issue, as you'll see in a second. But first of all, look, I don't need a quota. I don't need X number of Muslims in the appellate court system to represent the percentage that they are in the country, etc. But when there are none, you begin to get a sense of something being amiss. And then when you see a perfectly great candidate that's proposed, that is clearly qualified, and all of a sudden everyone's asking him, do you support 9/11? What kind of monstrously racist question is that? That's not even close to not being racist. That's just saying, I hate Muslims. I think all Muslims did 9/11, and you're a Muslim, so you must love terrorists. And then now apologize for October 7th. What did the brother have anything to do with October 7th? Why are you asking him about that? All right, Ted Cruz, why don't you apologize for the Holocaust? What do you mean? I didn't do the Holocaust. Exactly, dumbass. Okay, but under incredibly dumb racist ideology of Ted Cruz, what? You're a Christian? Hitler was a Christian. The Nazis on their buckle belts said, Gott mit uns. It means God is with us. Hitler said he was doing it for Jesus. So it must be Ted Cruz's fault. Do you see how stupid that is? That is the dumbest ideology in the world. But when it comes to Muslims, not only do the Republicans do it, a bunch of Democrats do it. A bunch of Democrats are going to vote no. Okay, and of course, for Republicans, they're like, you're a Muslim. We would never vote for you. Never, right? We think that you are responsible for every terrible thing that a Muslim has ever done. By the way, if you just say it about their Christian, like, hey, how about all the terrible, awful, horrific, monstrous things that Christians have done throughout world history, just because they're human and that's what humans do, they'd be like, I'm so offended. I'm such a martyr. Oh, I'm such a victim. My God, when we asked that cult lady that's on the Supreme Court now, Amy Coney Barrett, when Feinstein, back when she was alive and actually thinking and not, you know, etc., she had once asked her about the cult that she was in. And they're like, how dare you? Right. How dare you ask her one sentence about her beloved faith? A Muslim guy comes in, they're like, 9/11, October 7th, Muslim mother effer, how dare you come in here and try to be a judge in America? Don't you know we despise Muslims? Come on, man. So now every once in a while, Republicans will ask me, hey, you're a populist, you hate the establishment. We don't like the establishment. Why don't you come vote for Republicans? Look, brothers and sisters, I'm born Muslim. I'm an atheist now. But like a lot of my, or almost all my Jewish friends are atheists as well. And they call themselves Jewish Americans because they're proud of their background, their culture, etc. And the same is true of me. I'm proud of my background, etc. So I also call myself a Muslim American. You think I'm going to vote for Republicans? All of your politicians loathe us. Donald Trump said he wants to ban us. Donald Trump just said about the Palestinians, just finish them. Well, this kind of sounds like a final solution. And I'm supposed to vote for you? You think that's a fair ask? Do you get how mental that is? If you're a Christian out there, imagine that a Democrat comes and goes, I think all Christians are responsible for every atrocity, the Holocaust, World War I, World War II. Christians are the worst. Apologize for all Christians.
Apologize for the Crusades.
Yeah, apologize for the Crusades. And by the way, give me your vote. Who would vote for them? Which lunatic in their right mind would vote for them? So no, Republicans, there's no chance I'll ever vote for those racists. And you want to call it, by the way, the Republican guys who like split hairs. Oh no, technically that's not racism, that's bigotry. Oh, okay, well then feel great about that. It doesn't really matter what you call it. What it is hatred. And I'm not going to vote for people who say, I literally hate you.
I mean, it seems that the smear campaign against this nominee is working, and it's working not just on Republicans who, as Cenk has pointed out, don't really need a reason to not smear a Muslim in this country. But it's working on Democrats too. Some Democratic lawmakers are concerned with Mungie's loose, very loose ties to an organization called Alliance of Families for Justice, which is a criminal justice group that advocates on behalf of incarcerated individuals and their families. Sounds cool. Republicans and law enforcement groups are opposed to Mungie, have portrayed it as an association that advocates for, quote, cop killers to be freed from prison. As the head of the New Jersey State Policemen's Benevolent Association put it in a letter. Oh, you mean the police union? Oh, good old police unions. Let's trust what they say. And of course, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada took the bait and said, I cannot support this nominee. Mr. Mangi's affiliation with the Alliance of Families for Justice is deeply concerning. The organization has sponsored a fellowship in the name of Kathy Boudin, a member of the domestic terrorist organization Weather Underground, and advocated for the release of individuals convicted of killing police officers. Okay. Like, let's put aside, Kathy Boudin was, yes, I guess a terrorist in the 70s. She has since renounced everything that she did, which, by the way, was not killing a cop. She was actually putting her hands up, and the people who were with her were involved in that. She served decades in prison for it. She passed last year. And she has since worked around political prisoner rights. She is not, the idea that they had a fellowship, and then he spoke at a thing, and it just, it is like, it is so wild to me. And these, they're just looking for excuses. Anyway, it looks like Masto's out. Manchin's probably going to hold out as well. He needs now 50 of the 51 Democratic caucusing members to support him in order to have his nomination go through. And according to the new, there's a new rule, which is just the most Biden rule. If they don't have Republican backing, he won't vote for them. Just one Republican. Oh, this is Manchin. Manchin said this. Of course he did. Manchin said, just one Republican. That's all I'm asking for. Give me something bipartisan. This is my own little filibuster. Bro, you are a walking filibuster. If they can't get one Republican, I vote for none. I've told Democrats that. I'm sick and tired of it. I can't take it anymore. I apologize to the shots fired at Joe Biden. That's a Joe Manchin thing, saying that he needs at least one Republican. This guy. Just leave already. Anyway, Democratic Senators John Tester, Tammy Baldwin also declined to say if they'd back Mungie. But Cenk, I just, these loose affiliations, these the organizations that advocate on behalf of people who are incarcerated, they are also very criminalized in this country. And it's seen as something awful to defend the rights of someone who is in prison, or to even ask that they have their sentences changed or released. They want them to just, you know, and I hate the way Democrats play into that as well.
Yeah, most important part, Franny, is that I don't believe them. So if they had said, like let's say Republicans said, hey, I'm not in favor of this nominee because he was just helping the prosecutors in Philadelphia and California, etc., with criminal justice reform, and I'm not in favor of that, and they're releasing too many prisoners in California, we could have that debate, right? And I could say, oh, well, that sounds like a legitimate opinion, whether you agree or disagree, right? But when a Democrat goes back to the Weather Underground in the 1970s to pretend that that's what she cares about, when she's obviously voting against this guy because some donor told her he's a no good Muslim and you are to, I order you to vote against him. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? It doesn't have anything to do with the Weather Underground. She's like, well, you know, I hear that he was in favor of Jeremy Bentham from the 1700s. And I am not a utilitarian, I will tell you that. And hence, I am voting against him. Yeah, you're a liar. It has nothing to do with that.
It's such a reach.
Yeah,
it is. The reach.
Yeah, totally. I understand he was for William the Conqueror. And back in 1066, I was, you know, not in favor of conquering. And that's why I'm voting against him. Not because my donors told me to, because he's a Muslim and we're all racist. That's why we asked him about, hey, 9/11. Aren't you responsible for 9/11? Apologize for 9/11. I meant Weather Underground. Did you? I don't believe you for one second. Okay, this is what like really offends everyone in DC, including the reporters. They get so emotional about this. I think that beloved Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, Democrat of Nevada, is a liar. I think she's voting against him because he's Muslim. And she doesn't give a damn about the Weather Underground. How could you say that, Cenk? She's a beloved, honorable politician. She's so honorable. How can you besmirch her honor? Why don't you just let her be racist? Yeah, no deal. No deal.
It's so obscure. There's got to be money. You know what I mean? You can't imagine that her base is like, vote against him. You know, like she's not representing anybody. There's money involved.
200%. I'd bet everything on it. Okay, yeah. She caught feelings about the Weather Underground. Those feelings are super underground. Okay.
That's $10 right there.
Yeah, don't make me do more weather jokes. Okay. Anyways, this is a miracle for you guys.
It is raining money in the Democratic Party. Okay, I'm done. We need a break.
Yeah, partly cloudy with donor meatballs. I told you not to make me do more. All right, everybody donate at tyt.com/Joe. All right, we'll be right back.
Obrador.
TYT, Cenk, Francesca with you, but also Meowster, the meowing dragon. They just joined on YouTube by hitting the join button below. Come on, I'll say your name. It'll be fun for everybody. Join right now. Perfect day to do it. Do it as a birthday gift for me or for whatever the hell other reason, because you like the fact that we're actually honest and we try to actually help in the world a little bit. Speaking of helping in the world, Joe Gutierrez gifted a membership. And Benjamin Gilbert Liff gifted 50 Benjamin and American Hero as always. He was on my town hall last night. Great to see him in person. C. Andrews 22 made a contribution through tyt.com/join. And Lynn 1964 became a member. You guys are beautiful. I appreciate all of you. Let's keep it coming because we definitely do need it. Another article out today about how the industry is in massive trouble. But because of you guys, we're hanging in there. All right, Franny.
Yeah, I could talk a long time about that. All right, this is a juicy one. Let's go.
Is there any effort on the part of your team to secure this money through another country, Saudi Arabia or Russia, as Joy Behar seems to think?
Well, that was pretty direct. That was Fox News anchor Martha McCallum coming in hot with these questions to Trump's lawyer Alina Habba, as we are just days away from the time when Trump has to pony up this $464 million, which includes that appeal money of Judge Engoron's decision in his New York civil fraud case. And he is, oh man, are you guys getting texts? I mean, the pre-roll ads are just churning for my man. I don't wonder how that GoFundMe is doing. He doesn't have the money. No insurance companies will lend him the money. And so a natural question that I guess Joy Behar had, and not a bad point. Take a look.
But is Letitia James gonna go like put a chain on Trump Tower?
Yeah.
And take it like away that from him?
She said that. He doesn't have the money. Nobody wants to lend him the money in this country anyway. Who knows what's going to happen with Russia and Saudi Arabia? Because they know that he doesn't pay his bills back. And obviously, he didn't make enough money in that golden sneaker thing.
Right. And it would be a boot on Trump Tower, not a chain. But how did Alina Habba respond? Obviously, no, right? That's un-American. America first, right? No? Isn't it no?
Well, there's rules and regulations that are public. I can't speak about strategy that require certain things, and we have to follow those rules. Like I said, this is manifest injustice. It is impossible. It's an impossibility. I believe they knew that. I think that's why mid-trial, frankly, they changed their ask from $250 million to the ridiculous amount of money that they've asked for. I think everything is done intentionally. I do not doubt that the witch hunt, that the election interference goal is what was ringing steady and loudly and true throughout all these trials, frankly. And we're seeing it. It's the demise of our country, not the demise of Trump. So we'll handle it as we always have and keep our heads up and keep working hard.
I mean, we'll be fine without him. It's okay, Alina. It's okay. It's okay. He can go into demise. But wait, what was the answer there? Is he trying to get money from abroad? Well, there's rules and regulations, and so we're looking into that. That's not a no. I'm not hearing a no. Before I kick it to you, Jake, what was the follow-up here that Marsha had? Let's look.
Keep working hard.
Okay, keep us posted on the effort. We look forward to speaking with you again. Thank you very much, Alina Habba, joining
Thank
us
you.
Today.
Wait, what? I actually thought there was a follow up, so that was a fun little trick the producers played on me. You just left it there. I'm sorry, we're out of time. You're gonna get Saudi money. Cool, cool, cool. Moving on. Cenk, you know, I have to say this hadn't occurred to me after all the billionaires all week have been like, I don't want you, I don't want, you know, that yeah, he might just beg for it from abroad. But
yeah,
Alina Habba's not dissuading that idea.
No, that was hilarious. So Martha McCollum says, Joy Behar has this ridiculous conspiracy theory about how you guys might get it from abroad. So what do you say? Well, we're looking into it. I thought for sure then Martha was going to come back with, wait, did you say you're looking into it? That you might actually take money from the Saudis? But then you're running for president. Wouldn't he be beholden to the Saudis? Instead, she goes, oh, wow, Alina Habba, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. To which I thought, Martha, Martha, Martha. So, guys, are they looking into taking foreign money to pay it off? And then will Donald Trump owe a debt to a foreign country? And if he's president, will he help that country? Of course, of course. Her answer was super clear. Look, again, if you're MAGA, even you know that answer was super clear. Yes, they're looking into taking foreign money. Remember, your movement is called America First. And even if you're the deepest MAGA dude, you know that Trump is going to serve the money. There is no scenario where Trump takes the money and goes, well, I don't really care about people who give me money. I'm going to be principled anyway. No one's MAGA enough to believe that. And if you think about it, one of the countries mentioned was Saudi Arabia. And what has happened with Saudi Arabia? Well, Donald Trump, after the leader of Saudi Arabia dismembered an American journalist, Donald Trump said free to go. And there was no consequences at all. And he said, what? I like their money. Mm-hmm. And so, and by the way, there's credible reporting that Jared Kushner might have given up our sources in Saudi Arabia, some of whom got arrested and tortured. And some died. Now, I don't know for sure that Jared Kushner did that, but by God, there should be a hell of a lot more investigation about that. And guess what Jared Kushner got right after the election? $2 billion from the Saudis to invest in his equity company. And so—
You don't know if he did that or not, Cenk, but just hang on. Wouldn't he? Wouldn't he? He is like— Imagine you're Jared Kushner. You have literally no soul. You don't have mirrors in your home. You don't care who dies so long as you get rich. Like, truly, that is the least stretch of possibility. Like, anyway, keep going because that's not the point. But
look, guys, I'll tell you what we do know. Jared Kushner went to personally visit the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, the butcher of Riyadh. And then, right after Kushner's visit, Mohammed bin Salman arrested people he perceived to be his political enemies within the Saudi royals. He imprisoned some of them, he tortured some of them, and he killed some of them. Then there was a report out that people were in the intelligence community were concerned that Kushner had given up some of those names. And then, by the way, he comes back and this intelligence community says, pull a security clearance. You remember when they had this huge fight over pulling Jared Kushner's security clearance? Gee, I wonder why they wanted to pull it. And then right after the election, he gets $2 billion. Okay, maybe it's a coincidence. They'll have to prove it in court if it ever happened. But is it ever going to go to court? No, the elites are above the law. And so it's an outrage that there isn't an investigation in Jared Kushner to see whether he did or did not do that action. An unbelievable outrage. And Jamie Raskin asked for the committee investigating sons of presidents to investigate Jared Kushner yesterday. And the Republicans were like, no way. We care about Hunter Biden's $5 million, but we don't care about Jared Kushner's $2 billion from a foreign government. By the way, Jared Kushner is one of the worst businessmen in American history. He literally did the worst real estate deal in history of the United States of America. You can look it up, it's called 666 Fifth Avenue. And he nearly bankrupted his entire family with that. And the Saudis were gonna give the worst investor in America $2 billion out of the goodness of their hearts. So my point is, at this point, is Trump looking to kiss more Saudi ass and go across the world going, please pay my bills. I was pretending to be a billionaire, but now I'm caught. I'll do anything for you when I'm president. Oh, I'll give up our sources. I'll let you kill people. I'll let you dismember people. I'll do anything for you, fundamentalist dictators, etc. Just pay my bills. That's what that bitch is doing right now. America first, my ass.
I think it might be China. We know he got $5.5 million while he was in office. Another thing Jamie Raskin has helped us understand. They are so corrupt and absolutely soaked in foreign money. It's ridiculous. But yeah, let the bidding begin. TikTok till Monday. I'm very excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Franny, there, our politics is already so corrupt, overwhelmingly saturated with legalized bribes to the tune of billions of dollars. Now, presidential candidates are doing open auctions with foreign governments as to who's going to purchase their loyalty. This is disgusting. Does this look like democracy to you guys? This is the height of corruption. And this guy said he was going to drain the swamp. Right now, he's swimming in a Saudi swamp as we speak. And by the way, it's not just Jared Kushner. What did Donald Trump get? What is the one business deal he got after he left the White House?
The golf tournaments.
Right. All of the golf tournaments were moved to Trump properties by the Saudis who had bought the golf tournaments. I'm sure another wild coincidence. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.